Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Kuf Chav Ches Amud Aleph for the very first words of the words Avalos HaTevel, quoting the Mishnah. Today is my grandfather's Yortzeit Tzvi Ben Tzadok's Neshama Shnav Aliyah, that his learning should be Zchus for his Neshama Tav Aliyah. So it says the Mishnah now, quoting the Mishnah Avalos HaTevel, that we are not allowed to clear away Tevel produce because it is Muktzik. The Gemara says, Pshit, it's obvious that Tevel is Muktzik. You're not allowed to eat it until you take off the proper Trumos or Meisur. So what's the Havamina that I would be allowed to move it? So the Gemara says, no, it's needed for the following case. Latricha B'Tevel Tevel Midrabanan. We're talking about a case where it wasn't midoraisa tevel, that really midoraisa didn't need to take off trumas and maizos. However, midorabanan you needed to take off trumas and maizos, and that's why the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even in that case, you're not allowed to move it. And what is the example of that? The Gemara quotes, atzis sheino nakov, we've had this, we have a flower pet. And you grow, and it's being nurtured over there because it's not drawing nourishment from the ground because we have a flower pot that's closed, and it's not growing from the, and it's not getting it from the ground. So then, in that situation, mita areisa, it's not considered growing from the ground at all, and it would not require truma umaisa because it's not considered something that grows from the ground. However, mita rabanan, he would require truma umaiser, and therefore, since this pot requires midarabanan to take off trumaiser, if you do not, that's considered tevel, and it's tevel midarabanan, and you would still not be allowed to move it on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah continued listing other items in the Mishnah, velo maiser rishon, where you didn't take off the truma. The Gemara says also that this is also tevel, again. Well, you have truma, you take off 2% to the Kohen. After that, you take off 10% to the Levi. So let's say you have 98, and then you give him the Levi 10, I'd say apples. So the Levi has 10 apples. Now, within those 10 apples, the Levi has to take off truma. It's called trumas meiser. If he does not, it's considered a tevel. So the Gemara asks, then what's the chiddush over here? It's also a pshita. It's obvious that if you don't take off from the meiser region, if you don't take off the trumas meiser, if the Levi doesn't take off his portion of meiser, then it's considered tevel also. So so what's the chiddush over here? That you're not allowed to move it. So, and that is mukta. So the Gemara answers, "Latzricha sheikdima bakri shenita menu meiser." So talking about a case over here where someone had taken off the meiser rishon before you taken off the truma gedola, and we're talking about already though after it was already a pile, so it was a finished pile, so you had the chiyuv to take off. You had the chiyuv to take off truma, and you did not take off shenita menu meiser. However, you took off the meiser rishon velo nitnel menu truma gedola, and you did not take off the truma. You didn't take off the truma yet. Again, we're not talking about the case where we mentioned where if you didn't have it piled. If you don't have it piled, then we saw that you're not chayav yet. Here, the chiddush is that even when it's piled and you didn't take off the truma, you would have to take off the truma even if you gave the meiser rishon first. So the Gemara says, "Madatim akonam b'leir papa labayis." I would have thought originally, as Papa had said to Abaya, "Dritzin on yesterday's daf at the end of yesterday's daf." That in a situation that he says that it's putter, even if the Meiser Rishon was already taken off after it had been piled, in which case there was the Chiyuv of Truma Gedola, even in that case, it's going to be considered putter. Therefore, we're telling you that the Chiddush that Abai responded to our Papa, that in the second case, based on the Psukim over there, that you would in fact be Chayav in Truma Gedola if the Levi takes it after it had already been piled. Once they did the Meruach, once you made the pile, the Levi would in fact be Chayav to take off the Truma Gedola if you had not taken off Truma yet and you had originally started with the Meiser Rishon. So that's the Chiddush of Yom. Maybe I would have thought, like Rav Papa had suggested, that it's not good that you would not have to take a truma and it's no longer considered mukta. Kamash Malan, that it is tavel and you would have to take the truma and therefore it's considered mukta. Now continuing the Mishnah says, Veloas Meiser Sheni, not with regards to Meiser Sheni or Hekdish that had not been redeemed. The Gemara says also Pshita that if it's Meiser Sheni that not redeemed or Hekdish that not redeemed, it's Pashi, you're not allowed to eat it right now. You're not in your Shalai, you're not allowed to eat it, or you're not allowed to have a Hekdish, not allowed to have any whatsoever. So the Gemara says again, Lo Tzricha here, there is a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? And if the Velon of the Kilchas, no, you in fact, you did redeem it, but you didn't do it properly. What is that? Meiser Shepado Agabe Asimon, where Meiser Sheni, if you're a demon on an unminted coin. If you're doing an unminted coin, that is not going to be chal. Drachmana Amar v'tzarata kesef biyadecha. The pasuk says with regards to meiser that you have to do v'tzarata kesef biyadecha. That literally means you should bind the money in your hand. But the chazal v'drasha means that you have to engrave it, and the engraving means that it has to have a tzur. It has to have a picture to be engraved in order to be chal. Shaila, why is it puzzle? Is it because it's ena shave pruta? If it's not, if it doesn't have a picture or something else. But either way, that's what the Zerusakasiv tells you. Davar Shesh Batsura is something that needs an image. It has to be a minted coin, something that has an image on it. So that is the Chiddush, that if you did it, if you're poda onto an unminted coin, it would not be chal, and therefore the Chiddush is that that's mukta. Since it's not chal, it's mukta, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you. Hektish Yechilu Galbi Karka. In the case of Hektish, what's the Chiddush? Is where you're machalav on Galbi Karka, where you redeem it onto property, as you're only allowed to redeem Hektish onto other money. How do I know that? The Pasuk says you can repay the redemption money, and it would be it's going to be for him. And Tosfos just pointed out that that isn't a pasuk. We don't have that pasuk. So it says we're paraphrasing the pasuk of Yosef Chamisha Sakesef Erkecha Alav Vikamlo. That it's you put like a dot 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 the Vikamlo. That's what I mean over here. It's a rough quotation of the pasuk of Vikamlo. But either way, what we're understanding over here. And we're saying that the money has to be something which is usable and something that's not always usable everywhere it is, meaning I can't move my karka. So therefore, that's the pasuk, that's what we're telling over here, that you're only allowed to be pode onto money, which is usable everywhere, as opposed to karka, which is stationary and stuck where it is. That is the chiddush of, you can't be pode onto karka, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, and therefore, that is going to be mukta. The Mishnah continues and said, velos haluf, which is, we defined as some sort of legume. So because again, and Rabbi Shimon Galil allowed it, because again, it was mutter for, it was something that, very wealthy people could feed to their animals. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in Rabbi Yisrael, Metalton is a chatzav. You're allowed to move a chatzav on Shabbos. What is this chatzav? So Rashi explains that it's something that your roots like grow downwards and they don't grow straight to the sides. And it's apparently the type of, it's a grass, obviously. And it's a grass that Yoshua was demonstrating when he was showing the different chalukas. Actually, we had this in this week's parsha about how to give the chalukas. So that was done on, that was done through this grass, apparently. Bneshu Maichal at Tzviim, because this is food for deer. So you're allowed to move it. And also you're allowed to, the mustard, you're allowed to move because it is food for the doves. This is seemingly against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you're not allowed to move the chardel. The Rishonim deal with that question. What is going on over here? Some explain that it's arguing. Others say no, that we're just different in different locations. In the location of the Breisa, apparently it was something that people did have the mustards, and the location of the Mishnah that it was not. Either way, this is a question that needs to be asked, that our Mishnah says explicitly, you cannot move mustard, and here we are saying you are. Okay, so either way, this Breisa continues, the Tanur Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Galil says, you're allowed to move the broken glass because it's food for ne'imus over here is defined as a basa ya'an, Rashi quotes it, which is over there is a question exactly which bird it is, but pashtas, it's based on the targum, based on Rav Sadigon, he explains that it's the ostrich, so we'll go with that. So we're talking about an ostrich over here, so which we're saying, so again, you're allowed, it's food for the ostrich, and therefore it's allowed to be moved, the broken glass. Our mother Rav Nassim said to him, Elameata, Chabilez Murasi Taltamne Shumaychal Lepilin. So you should be able to, what your logic is, you should be able to move bundles of vines because those are food for elephants. And no one says that we don't say anywhere that anyone says you can be moved. The chavilas mur, you're allowed to move these vines. So obviously, your svar doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what would you respond to Rabbi Nassim's kasha? The Gemara says, Ne'imo shchiche, the ostriches are common enough. Therefore, when you have these broken glass things, you're allowed to feed it to them because that's considered mucha and that's considered prepared and not considered mukta. However, pilin lo shchiche, elephants are not common at all. In which case, therefore, if you have these vines, they're not considered mucha. So the Gemara now says, Amar amimar vuta isle ne'imo. So qualifying Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's halacha is that that's only provided if the person actually has ostriches in the possession. If you don't own any of them, that's not going to be considered, it will be considered mukta for you. Just because your neighbor has the ostrich doesn't help you. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi disagrees with this completely. Rav Ashi has a kasha. He says, no, that doesn't make sense based on the Braisa. Amar Rav Ashi la meimar, elad zekamar le'rab nasan le'rab an shema megamliel, chavidez mursi talpam neshu ma'aychal le'pilin. But what did Rabbi Gamliel, what was the response of Nasan arguing on Rabbi Gamliel? He says that we shouldn't be able to move bundles of vines because it is food for the elephants. So the Gemara says, but that can't be what Rav Nassim was asking, where he owned it according to this, that the way you want to explain it, it would come out that Rav Nassim was asking Akasha, where you even own you owned an elephant, and you own an elephant, you can't, you can feed it these vines because you own it. But that doesn't make any sense. No one would disagree with that concept, that if you own the elephant, that the vines aren't mukta for you, you know you're going to feed him those vines. So they can't be that that would, it can't be that that was the machlokas. Rather, El Roy, the machlokas Rav Nassim Pashas was talking about that something is merely fit for the guy. So since it's this food is fit, the vines are food for the animal, so then that's something that therefore is not going, you, the feeder, he's asking kasher, but you, lechora, say that that should be roy, so then even this, which no one says is mutter, should be roy as well. So hakadami roy, so too we must be, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel's ruling is also only in the case where the ostrich is roy, is fit for food for the ostrich, but you don't actually have to own an ostrich to be in possession of it, and that's how we go, like we accept that taina of Rav Ashi back to Amemar, and that's how we go with. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, Kulus Vila Duchal Bnei Yisrael Melachim Hem. They all hold that all of Kol Yisrael are, we're princes, we're Bnei Melachim, we're the sons of kings. Usually, the Gaonim quoted tradition in Sanhedrin's quote, I know I've seen that before, is that in Alacha Keshita, that when an Amora says that all these Atanaim are holding, they all hold the same thing, Papashas, this is like a similar example of this, is that we don't actually follow that. We're trying to like collect the Amor, the way Rashad explained it, that we're trying to collect the Tanaim, let's go find, hey, he heals this, he heals that, is that, but we don't paskin like that because it's a Shita that is not accepted, it's a Das Yachid, that, and we'll say, and we're trying to look around for which Tanaim will hold like that. Either way, so that the Gemara says over here, we see that he holds B'nai Yisrael Malachim from the following cases of the fact that we said that the Luf is not considered Muktzah because it's Michael for the Oreb, for the ravens, and that is something that's only for wealthy people. And also the glass shards of food for Ashes is also only wealthy people. So we clearly hold that Rabbi Gamliel is assuming that even though you are not wealthy at all, you would be subsumed in the category of people because you can. B'nai Yisrael generally are considered B'nai Malachim. Rabbi Shimon, what is Rabbi Shimon? B'nai Malachim, Sachin, Gabi Malkosim, Shem, Vered. We actually had seen this Mishnah before, quoted, so we had discussed this. Before we discussed about using medicines, and that is, Rabbi Shimon says that the halacha was, like before Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakhama says that when it comes to B'nai Malach, when it comes to princes, they're allowed to smear on themselves this type of rose oil, which is very fancy, on their wounds on Shabbos, because she can dark those B'nai Malach and because that's something that was customary for them to do during the week, to use this very fancy oil. So for them, according to the Tanakhama, it's mutter to use this on Shabbos as well, because it doesn't look like refu. We're talking about the Isidra Banan of doing refu on Shabbos, because Gitzir Hashem Yisrael, that you can come to the Malach of Toch. And we're not getting to the whole gzera now, but there's an Isra Dabanan to do refuah, and we said that when it came to the oil, that it was mutter for the princes, the Tanakhama, how to do it on Shabbos, because it doesn't look like they're taking in a refuah, because that's something they would do normally during the week. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel qualified them, and he said, even Klai Yisrael ben Melachim, all of Klai Yisrael do this, because we're all Belachim, we're all considered the sons of the kings, we're all the princes, and therefore, any Jews allowed to apply the fancy rose oil on Shabbos, because it is something that we're all considered ben Melachim, even if you're not particularly wealthy yourself. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, what do they hold? The standard they hold in the Braisa, Rei, if a creditor had claimed against him, he had 1,000 money against him. So normally the halacha is you have to pay him everything except for the clothing on your back and a few other things, which the Gemara tells us about that. So that's not so much our sugya. But here, the question is about something that you're winning. So if hayesh noshim b'elef mana v'lavush itzdal abas ma mana. So you are wearing a cloth worth 100 mana. 100 mana is a ridiculous amount of money. Just to put it in perspective over here, that 100 mana, a person, his daily wages was around 4 dinar. That's what we've seen in other chazals, in other gemaras. So we're assuming 100 mana worth is approximately, based on that cheshbon, would be 7 years of an average worker. So if say the average worker nowadays is working, I don't know, $50,000, so that would be $350,000. That would be a very expensive coat that he's wearing. So the question is, again, the halacha, strictly speaking, is that someone is not allowed to be taken out of the clothing off his back, is not allowed to be taken off to pay the person who he owes money. So the question is, what about if you have this coat, this extremely expensive coat, are you allowed to take that off? So mashisanos, So according to the Brites of Tanakhama, you're allowed to take it off. You could put on a coat that's more, a $10 coat. You don't have to be wearing a $350,000 coat. That sounds a little bit excessive. So that is the halacha of the Tanakhama. However, Tanam Mishim Rishmal said no. V'tanam Mishim Rabbi Kiva, and it was Tanam Mishim Rabbi Kiva as well. Ko Yisrael Ravain La'oso Itzdala. That all Ko Yisrael fit for that very expensive special cloak, even though this coat is only something which is considered for royalty, obviously based on the price, rough example that we gave. So that is something which would be roi for them. So we see that he's definitely considered a prince if he's wearing something like that. And yet they held that would be the case. Okay, continues the Mishnah. The Mishnah lists the final case of Muktzah. Chavile kash v'chavile. That was the kash and the tevin. We had the bundles of straw and the bundles of wood. Right. So that was the two examples. Those were all the things. So now we put a brisa on relevance to that. The Gemara says that tera abanan we learn in brisa. Chavile kash v'chavile. So if you have bundles of straw or bundles of wood or twigs v'chavile zardim or you have reeds, and the stam is that you apparently, I think they're going to be mukta. However, if you decide to feed your animals with them, then and you set them aside for that, then they're not going to be mukta. However, if you do not set them aside, that would not be considered mukta. This is in contrast to what we saw before. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, assuming by the glass, broken glass, that's going to be fit for ostriches, even though they're not going to be considered designated, even if they we're assuming like that. So the Rashi just pointed out that lechora is against that. Either way, going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says chavilin and tell me yad echad muta utalton. It's different. If the bundles can be taken with one hand, then it's permitted to move them. Not a problem with muktzah, but just a problem of tircha on Shabbos, so therefore you would not be allowed to take that. If you have bundles of se'ah, is of a kronos, the Gemara is going to discuss all three of these things, we're not going to define them so much right now. If you brought them in to be used for firewood, then aim is not for Shabbos. Obviously not to use them because then it's a kalish malach to lesser. It's going to be asher to move them. However, if you use them for animal food, you're allowed to use them on Shabbos. Someone allows you to break them into small pieces by your hand and eat them. That is, normally there's going to be an isra of tochen, we're assuming over here that this is going to be not a problem, however, this is provided you don't use a utensil. Again, this is the normal way of doing it, would be the problem of tochen. Apparently, if you do it without a kli, that's based on Rashi, also, that would not be an isra de araisa, possibly an isra de abundance, so why exactly here is it going to be mutter? That's the shayla. Umola va'ocha, someone's allowed to rub these type of pods and eat the seeds. Rabbi Yehuda assumes that you can't do a lot of rubbing with a kli, with a utensil, because that would be a problem of tochen. We move on from tochen. We're going to be assuming that you've now taken it off of dash. So the Gemara says, you rub them with the tip of your fingers, that would be mutter, and remove the itzitz. As long as you don't do this entire hand, in a way which you would do during the weekdays, and the same halacha would apply to an amisa. So this, the Gemara is going to define what exactly is an amisa. Again, we're talking over here with the iser of dash, and the Chachamim required to do a major shinoi in the way of normally rubbing it in order for it not to be a problem. Now the Gemara continues. Lechem bepegam, and also type of plant, the same halacha, lechem shemen tavlin, the same is going to apply to other types of spices. Now Gemara asks, in the Braisa told us to learn of amisa, what is this? My amisa. What is this amisa? So Gemara says, nina, it's a type of, like the Firashi, it seems to be a type of mint. Seah, what is a seah? Marav Yehuda, tasri. That is the sasri, which Rashi gives two explanations for them. He quoted two things in Laz, which aren't so part of what they are, but one of them is like a type of herb. Rashi quotes, oh, maybe it's some type of mint also. So Gemara says, Ezov, what's Ezov? Abrasa, that's hyssop, that's what we really have whenever the psukim refer to Ezov. Kronos, what is Kronos? Kronos Hashma, that its name is Kronos, that no other name for it is Kronos is the name. The Gemara says, Vahau, Damar Lahu, man, buy Kronisa. Who wants to buy Kronisa? Vishtacha Chashe, and he found that it was Chashe. So apparently, Kronos doesn't have another name. Kronisa is Chashai, or whatever Chashai ever pronounces. So the Gemara says that, the Firashi's definitions of Shiloh, what exactly this is. But either way, the Gemara says, Elaseya Tarsi. Rather, we're going to define this as Seya is going to be Tarsi, as we said before, and Ezov is going to be Ezov Abrasa, as a hyssop that we agreed with. That Kronosi is going to be Chashai. We're going to change it, and Kronosi means that it's Chashai, whatever the Chashai, whether it's a type of mint or something we don't necessarily know what it is. Those are the two gears of Rashi's two understandings of Rashi. The Gemara continues now. Itmar. We learn, Basa Melech Mutal Taltu B'Shabbos. If someone has salted meat, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, because the meat is salted, it is going to be, even though it's uncooked, it's still somewhat edible. Basar tafel. Tafel over here means that it is unsalted. It comes up, lozalon yardeh, it comes up often, the word tafel, that something is considered unsalted. So that in that situation, it is going to be Rav Huna Momer Taltel. It's a shayla. Rav Huna says you're allowed to move it, as Ragashi points out, because he holds that it's permitted to move muktzah on Shabbos. This is the famous machlokas, right, that we've seen many times already between Rav Huda and Rav Shimon, about how far the din of muktzah goes, and something stam considered muktzah unless you have it designated, or is it the other around, and that would come out as machlokas, Rabbi Huda and Rav Shimon. And now, when it comes to unsalted meat, we're assuming over here, Rav Shimon doesn't consider it a muksa, even though it's not fit for human consumption, since at the end of the day, the final product is something that you plan on eating. That is something that, therefore, is not going to be considered muksa. So Rav Huna is agreeing with Rav Shimon on this point. And Rav Chista, Mar Aslo Talta, Rav Shimon is going to be going, Rav Chista, rather, is going to be going with Rav Yehuda's more stringent understanding of muksa, and therefore, assuming you're not allowed to move it. To which the Gemara now asks a question on both these shitas. Rav Huna, Mar Matal Talta, wait a second, Rav Huna Talmud de Rav Hava. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, and Rav, Rabbi Yehuda's relay, and his Rebbe held like Rabbi Yehuda, who was more machmir in Mukta, the Islam Mukta, who holds that there's Mukta, so this case also should be machmir. So how can Rav Huna say that someone's permitted to move it? So the Gemara now answers, Mukta l'achila shavar Rabbi Yehuda. Really, Rav, when we understood that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's only with regards to the chumrah of eating this item. However, when regards to tiltel, tzara l'achila Rabbi Shimon, when regards to tiltel, with regards to moving it, the general principle of Mukta, he is going to be more makil and hold that there is no Mukta like Rabbi Shimon. So apparently, it's only a chumrah that he holds that this one nekuda of like Rabbi Yehuda, this is l'fi Rav, and this is what will come out of Rav Huna as well, is that they hold a chumrah about eating it also. There's a shayla, though, many places where Rishonim point out that this seems to be a problem, because Rav seemed to hold that there's mukta even with regards to eating it in different circumstances, so that is something that is a problem, came up to a test, we had this Gemara, okay, not going to get to it so much right now. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Rav Chista also is a problem, Chista Amar Asur L'Taltel, that it's Asur to remove it, V'har of Yitzchak, Ber Ami Ikulei Rav Chista, and he visited Rav Chista, V'chazah Hu Bar Avza, he saw a certain duck, which was shechted, and apparently it was unsalted and uncooked, obviously, and the servants were carrying it from the shimsha, from the sun, to the tula, for the shade, Amar of Chisar, said, Chisaron kis kachazina acha, I see that there's going to be a financial loss, and therefore, if you leave it in the sun, therefore maybe it'll get spoiled, whatever it is. Therefore, he said it's mutter, he understood that it was mutter to move it. However, this lechora is going to be mukta according to Rav Huna. Why would he assume that you're allowed to move it? So the Gemara says, Shani bar Avza, dechazil umta. Apparently the duck is different than other raw meats because Rav Chisar and Hanami would hold that those other meats are asr to move. However, over here, this is fit to be eaten raw. So now the Gemara continues quoting a brisa. Tanu Rabbanu we learn a brisa. Dag maliach, when it comes to salted fish, mutl atatl is permitted to move it on Shabbos. Again, we're assuming that it's fit to be eaten. And dag tafel, with regards to unsalted fish, also atatl, it's forbidden to move it on Shabbos. Basar, what about meat, bein tafel, bein maliach, mutl atatl, whether it's unsalted or salted, is going to be permitted to move it. That is the shiloh over here. We're assuming right now, even though it's unfit for human consumption, maybe you can use it for dogs. That it would be mutter even lefir Rabbi Yehuda. That Tosfos get into whether this raisa is a liba Rabbi Yehuda or a liba Rabbi Shimon. Okay, I am the Tosfos for that point. Tanur Abanan, we learn in the raisa metaltin esat tzomos. You're allowed to move bones on Shabbat. Neishu meichel leklavim because they are food which is fit for dogs. Turning to next, Amanah basar tafuach. We're allowed to have Rashi explains it's spoiled meat. Neishu meichel lechaya because you can feed it to your non-domesticated animals. My megulin, where we know water left exposed, which is considered a sakana because maybe the snake came and left its venom. That was the Shulchan Aruch. Nowadays doesn't apply. The grossly arachos is nowadays. Okay, either way, if you have this type of exposed water, some nation ra'in lachatel. Apparently, even though in the times of Gemara, which everyone agrees that the gzera applied in the Gemara, so the question was later on. But here in the times of Gemara, when it applies, even according to that, the Gemara says that it's not considered fully muksa because you could feed it to cats. Because Rashi says apparently that the cats eat snakes, and in culture again, they wouldn't be harmed by the poison that was put in this water. So you could feed it to your cat. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. Omer kol atzman asur la'ashos, you're not allowed to leave it. They're afraid that a human's going to drink it, so kol shekhen, it's going to be muktam nasakana, so then obviously you would not be allowed to move it because it's mukta, so that would be highly problematic. Okay, now we're moving on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kofin es asal lifnei ha'efrochim, that one would be allowed to move the basket in front of the chicks on Shabbos, in order that they should be able to climb up and down from their nests on Shabbos. So the Mishnah is now telling us you're allowed to move. Rashi points out this was teaching with the Chiddush. You're allowed to clean nital a davar she'ina nital b'Shabbos. That's the shaila that we had in the Malchus earlier, but that's what this Mishnah is teaching you. Tarnagula shebarcha, if a hen escaped, dochenosa achetikanis, you're allowed to push it until it enters. Then over here, you're allowed to push it with your hands. You're normally not allowed to push if a chicken because it's considered mukta over here because tar balachem. We'll get into that. It's going to be mutter. Mardina galen of sayach, and you're supposed to help a calf or a donkey walk. Isha madesa, but now also a woman's allowed to help her child walk. In that situation, she'll have support him, Rashi says, by holding his arms behind and the child moves his legs forward. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Imas, I wonder, would that be the case? Bizman, shunotel achas, amaniach achas, when he lifts, able to lift one foot and put the other one down. Avalimaya gorer arsa, if you're dragging the feet and you're dragging, she's dragging it in order to help him move. In that situation, that's like carrying out, right? Rashi says, and therefore that would be usher, even in a carmelist, which in Isra Dabar, that would be usher as well. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Avidum Arav, Behemash Nafalamasamayim, if an animal fell into a stream of water on Shabbos, maybe Karim Ksusus Ukmanech Utachtea, you could bring pillows and cushions and put it underneath it so that this animal can get out. Vimal Salsa, and if it comes out, that would not be a problem. Maybe we have a kasha though. Behemash Nafalamasamayim, if the animal fell into a stream of water on Shabbos, Osin laparnas makamacher, you should give it food in order so it'll survive the Shabbos, and don't do any malachas of bringing the pillows there. Bishvil shalatamas, in order it shouldn't die. So the Gemara says panas in karmak says, well, this price implies that all you should do is give it food. You should not put the pillows there in order that it climbs up. So the Gemara answers, lokasha adav shabbat parnasa ha deiav shabbat parnasa. It depends if it's able to survive in the situation where it's in, where you give it food the whole day, then that's the best thing to do. Where you're not able to do that, if it's suffering, as Rashi points out, that let's say the water is too deep or something like that, in that situation you would be allowed to put the pillows there in order for it to get out. So the Gemara says, "Ezra pronasa in ve'ilo maybe karmak suz menech tatei." Just fleshing out what we just said, that if there is a way to do it where you could give it the provisions, that would be good. If not, then you should bring the pillows. That is a secondary choice. You shouldn't do that lechachila. But Gemara says, "But wait a second, you're nullifying the use of this utensil right when as soon as I put the pillows there and an animal's muktos. If I put the pillows and an animal's now walking on it, the pillows now no longer allowed to be moved. What's the problem with vatal klimei chano? So that's different shitas. Rashi in one place seems to assume that it's so. So that's the general the opinion that it looks like it's so, you're destroying something which is an Isra D'oraisa, so it looks bad, so therefore we tell you not to do it, so it'll be Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Other place Rashi says bonav because you're holding something in this place. That's the shaila, what exactly this is. By the way, that's the question of what you're doing over here. The Gemara says, Savar Mevatel Kli Mechano D'Rabbanan. Rav is holding over here that's only D'Rabbanan to Mevatel Kli Mechano. In Echanami, you are doing that, and Tzar Belachem D'Oraisa. The Tzar Belachem is the Raisa. Rashi points out from the Posek Azav Tazov Imo, which you're learning out over there, that Tzar Belachem, that's why you would help the person help unload his load from the animal. Others explain, I think the Rambam has a shita that we just had in Parshas Balak, that when he hit the animal, that he says, why did you hit me? That's what we learn out. It's usher to hit an animal. So that's a shayla. There's many different sources of where we learn Tzar Balachayim. Either way, that is something that is learned out as deraisa. As the deraisa of Dachir Rabbanan, therefore the deraisa of the Tzar Balachayim is going to uproot this Dachir Rabbanan over here of Mevatel Kli Meichana. And the Gemara continues, Tanagula Shabar Chavahen escape, you let it push it until it enters. And the Gemara says, Dochin in, it implies that pushing it is mutter, however, Madidin lo, you're not allowed to help it. So the Mishnah says that, so that is something that's going to be usher. Tanin Allah Dachir Rabbanan, this is learned in the Braisa. Madidin Be'ima Chayav Elpechatzer, you're only allowed to help an animal, domestic, non-domesticated animal or a bird in a courtyard. Aval lo, it's Tanagulas, but not a hen. The Gemara says, why? Should there be a difference? Because when it grasps her wings, she will be able to lift herself from the ground, then it will be able to come out, and the person not helping her walk is actually carrying her. In this case, the hen should be a problem of carrying the hen. That would be malacha deraisa of carrying, as opposed to the other mammals, which you're not actually doing malacha deraisa. You're allowed to help an animal, or not an domesticated animal, bird work in a courtyard. Not in Hirsch's Rabbin. A woman is allowed to help her child walk even in a Rishus HaRabim, because over there she's not going to, even if she does come to accidentally carry the child is going to be an also an Isra Rabbanim, because we hold that Chai no says Atzmo, so therefore you have not done an Isra Deraisa at worst. Over here, when you carry the animal, though, you will be doing an Isra Deraisa. And obviously, in a courtyard, it's been mutter for that woman to carry her, to help her child. It's not allowed to lift an animal, beast, or a bird in a courtyard. So you're allowed to push them so they will enter when they should go into the enclosure that you want to put them in. Hagufa Kashi, Gemara says, wait a second, this price seems to be contradicting itself. Amart in Ukraine, you say that you're not allowed to lift it up. So that's about the chayim and dichin. It sounds like you're allowed to help it walk. However, but the hex second half of the bracelet seems to imply dochin in medin lo, that you're allowed to push it, the animal, then pushing is allowed. However, helping the animal walk is going to be forbidden. The bracelet seems to give two conflicting indications of what it's holding like. So the Mara answers on Rabbi Seifa Eisel the Tarnagolas. The latter part of the bracelet, which is more machmir, that's assuming that we're going like the Tarnagolas. That's coming to suit the case of the hen, which is you're only allowed to help it walk. That would be dochin in medin lo, that you'd be allowed to help it walk. You'd not be allowed to you're allowed to push it, you would not be allowed to help it walk. And then, so the Gemara says, that's what is safe. Amar Baya, hi man, Shachat, so just once we're getting on some Tarnagolas, Rabbi says the following, someone is slaughtering a rooster, Shachat Tarnagolas, Tachshinat Achari Ba'ar, someone should press its leg to the ground, E Nami Nedal Midal Le'el. So if it's coming off entirely from the ground, Dilma Manach Lulu Forte Ba'ar, then what's going to happen? It's going to put its like claw on the ground, and then it'll try to come out from the Shechita, Ve'akalu Simanim, and therefore you would be doing the Shechita improperly, you'd be leading to a treifa, that's why you should not do it in that situation. Now the next mission continues. So now I'm not going to deliver an animal on Yontov. The Shaila and the Shunim, what exactly is the issue over here? I put it out in Yontov. Some Rashi explains over here that it's a problem of Tircha Yisera. Others explain the Shaila Dereisa of Makeh Bepatish. You're finishing the animal over here. So there's a different Shaila of what exactly is the Isser. Aval Misad, and you're allowed to help it deliver a baby on the animal on Shabbos. Umadilin Asaisha B'Shabbos. So, and also you're allowed to help a woman deliver on Shabbos. According to Chacham and Makul Makim, you could also tell a midwife would come even outside of the chum, whether that's the raiser, but whatever. Certainly it's going to be mutter. Why is it called chachama? A nice pshat, because ezel chachama roes anola. Maybe that's why she's called chachama, the midwife, the person who's helping her. Either way, so mechalan is the Shabbos, and you're allowed to violate Shabbos for her. Vekoshen is a tibor, and you're allowed to untie the umbilical cord of a newborn. Rabbi Yosemir af choschen, you're allowed to sever and cover cough completely. Vechotzer mila osim b'Shabbos, and you're allowed to do all the requirements of mila on Shabbos. That's going to be the whole subject of the next parak. Now the gemara in this case is deciding how we're allowed to help an animal do the delivery on Shabbos. What does this mean? Rav Yehuda says it means oches avad shalei pull the arts. You're allowed to hold the newborn baby so it doesn't fall to the ground. Rav Nachman Amar Dochi Baser Kadesh Yitzev Vlad. You're allowed to push the flesh of the mother so that the fetus should come out. Tanakh advice of Rav Yehuda. We have a basis supporting the shita of Rav Yehuda. It says Ketzad Misadin. What way you're allowed to help the animal on Yantiv rather? Ochzin is a Vlad shalei pull the arts. You should make sure that it doesn't fall on the ground. Venofer lepechosmo. You blow into its nostril. Venosin lo da the tochpiv Kadesh Yanek, and you can give the breast of the mother in order that she be able to breastfeed. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That used to be more mekel, that used to be more merciful on kosher animals on Yontov. The Gemara explains, Hechi Abin, what did he do? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, maybe a bowl shel melach, he took a fist size of salt, maniach besoch harechem. He used to put it in the mother's womb. Kadesh discord tzara trachem alav. She's the mother. She remember the pays called the remember her labor and have pity on the newborn. Umezalfin min shilya al gabe vlad. She should put water on the shilya on the afterbirth on the newborn. Kadesh tariach reichel trachem alav. Should smell it and have pity on the newborn. But dafka tahora. This is only by a tahora animal v'altmeila, but not an non-kosher animal. We're asking my tama. What's the difference between the two? At the end of the day, they're both subject to tzar balechayim. The Gemara says tmeila lo mecharka vlada. When it comes to non-kosher animal, just a metzias over here, apparently it wouldn't reject its offspring when that had born. And even if it does, then in that situation, nothing would help to bring it back. So therefore, there's no help point in helping it, as opposed to the non-kosher, the kosher animal, which for some reason rejects the newborn. But if you help it or bring it back, then it will have rachmanas on the newborn of a kosher animal. Mialdinus ha'ishu, you can help deliver a woman. And Gemara says michti tana tana le mialdinus ha'ishu. Already, the Mishnah already told us you're allowed to deliver a woman on Shabbos. V'korin lachachma malkum lamalkum mechalas haShabbos. Latuya ma'is. What does it mean? And we already know that chachma is violating Shabbos with chum Shabbos. So what does it mean that later the part when she says you're allowed to violate all the lachos of Shabbos? The Gemara says there is a chiddush. Latuya had the center abanan is coming to the chiddush. We learn in the brisa ma'is tzricha l'ner. If the woman needed a lamp, chavres madleka l'ner. Her friends are allowed to light the lamp for her. And we're going to see based on the hamshach l'gemara that's apparently just to have a peace of mind, and that would help her. That would, even if you think that would help her, that would be something that's mutter to do on Shabbos. That's a famous story of Reb Chaim that Rav Torsky actually brought out. How machmir doesn't appear koach nefesh to someone wasn't feeling well. I think it may have been Rav Soloveitchik actually wasn't feeling well. Someone wasn't feeling well, and he said, "Well, he asked the doctor, do you think it would help if we put on the light?" The doctor said, "Maybe, I don't really think so." And he told his son to put on the light. Apparently, the son didn't put on the light. Gave him a patch and told the other son to put on the light, and he put on the light. So he was so machmir and pikuach nefesh. Either way, so then if she needed oil, should ideally bring it in her hand, which is going to be a shinois. We see over here, apparently, that's going to be a subject of debate in the postgame already, in the Shulchan Aruch versus Raman. Sfarim and Ashkenaz Dan Yom had this machlokes about, is it huchra d'chuya when it's in pekuach nefesh? Can you violate every halacha whatsoever? Meaning, if you could do something in the same manner and not violate the halacha, should you try to do that? That's the Ashkenazim Ar Machmer in the chat. Let's say we try to order an Uber. If a woman is pregnant or have a non-Jewish company take you first, you shouldn't have the husband driver lechad chila. Obviously, if you're in a situation that's even a chash, will delay you in any moment and cause any suffix of kana, you're machmer. But in a situation where it's all be equal and you're not afraid of mamash sakana, then ideally you should be taking a non-Jewish driver. Because this idea that you should do it in a shinoi, v'imein sebek b'yad, and if she's not enough to do in her hair, maybe a basar should bring it in her hair. Maybe a basar, she could bring it in a container. That would be the normal manner. We see clearly again that doing it in the best way to be, do it with a shinoi. Then the Gemara says, "Amar imayis tzricha l'ner chaves malekas l'ner." The Gemara says, "Pshita, that's obvious if she needed it." The Gemara's answer is, "Lo tzricha besuma. We need it for the case of a blind woman." Madasimakiva delochazia asra. I would have thought because she can't see, so then it's going to be asra. So what does it matter for her? So the Gemara says, "Kamash v'lan aisvei masavi dati." Even in the case where she's blind, it's going to put her at ease knowing that there was one. There's something ikam. Because he said that something is needed, they're going to do it for me, and putting her at ease apparently is going to be enough to do it, to violate this din deraisa, and because of pikuach nefesh. And we see over here that so the peace of mind is critical to well being. That's something that's extremely important when it comes to a woman who is in the process of giving birth. That's a big shaila. Rishonim have the geder. Maybe it's anything that you would do during the weekday you would do now. That's a shaila whether we go that far, but that is comes up very nice shaila of pikuach nefesh. B'shavas, Adkan for today. Pick up tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem from the Gemara.